and do all the fruit of the Spirit, and then we'll take a 4 or 5 week pause to talk about the vision of our church. We're an Acts 2 church. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen. And also believe the early church was a church that worshiped, a church that was in fellowship, a church that was growing in the Word, a church that was serving in ministry to others, and a church that was winning the lost. And that's what we want to be about. But praise the Lord, we're going to talk about a topic today. If Stephen will put my PowerPoint up. I don't know about you, but this has been a very challenging time. Aren't you glad that as we abide in the Spirit abides in us. As we abide in Christ, Christ abides in us. And then in John 15, it says we will bear much fruit. And this is what the fruit looks like. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Say gentleness. And self-control. And so today we'll talk about can I tell you this, and I mention it every Sunday because I think we need to. Without Christ and without the grace of God and without the power of the Holy Spirit, we can't be like that at a very high level. But when we do abide in Christ, the grace of Jesus Christ and the power of the Spirit helps us bear what is called the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm so thankful. And we should be growing. Fruit does not mature overnight, does it? The apple tree doesn't produce apples overnight, et cetera, et cetera. So we should, love should be growing. Kindness should be growing. Patience should be something. We should be more patient 3 months from now if we're abiding in Christ than we are today. Because the word fruit there is plural, meaning a Christian that's walking with Christ. All this fruit should be available in us. It should be growing in us. And number three, we should be producing more of it. Better fruit and more fruit. I like that. How many of you like a good strawberry? I love strawberries. I love them when they're mature and perfectly ripe. And I like lots of them with ice cream. Is ice cream a fruit? It should be, huh? Well, praise the Lord. Today we're going to talk about gentleness, and I will use the word meek. Another word for gentleness is meekness, and that's what we're going to talk about today. I was thinking about this, been thinking about this for a lot of weeks. It seems like overall women tend to be more gentle than men. But this isn't a woman thing only, guys. It's a man thing as well as we abide in Christ. In fact, you hear me talk about my family a lot over the years. One grandmother in particular I talk about a lot. But another grandmother, Grandmother Gray, who was also, I don't mention her that often. She died when I was in the third grade. She gave me my first Bible, even before the other grandmother that I talk about all the time. But and of all things, we called her Mother. It was a name that people called her far and wide because she seemed to be a mother to all. So I called one of my grandmothers Mother. Okay, it's a Kentucky thing. But she was a very gentle, kind person. She was known for her godliness and known for her gentleness. In fact, when they had the funeral, they couldn't get all the people in the building. It was a big building. And the parking lot was packed, and that's a whole other story. I remember my grandfather becoming sick, and it was some form of anemia, and it was really bad. And so my grandmother took my grandfather to the doctor and for a thorough examination. And then during that examination, he would call my grandmother in to talk to her privately. And he told her that my grandfather had a very advanced form of anemia, and that he wouldn't be expected long to live unless my grandmother made some changes for him. And so my grandmother Grace said, well, what do I do? You know, I want him to go to heaven, but not next week. We all want to go to heaven, just not tomorrow, right? If you enjoy life, and that's certainly a joke. We all want to go to heaven someday. And he said, with proper nutrition, he can be made strong again and live a long life, which he actually did. He said, now, and my grandmother became a great cook. Cook him a big breakfast, biscuits, eggs. And in the South, you have gravy with everything and bacon and country ham. Said, cook it up for him, and said, but that's not going to be enough. Said, cook him up a big lunch, too. And, you know, cook it up. Don't spare the vegetables. Two meats. And said, don't just cook him lunch, but cook him a big dinner. So my grandmother's going to be cooking all day long, which they did in those days, really. And I don't know why, but they said, bake lots of goodies. And my family on that side could flat be bakers, but plenty of pies. She made a homemade fried apple pie that was off the charts. Now, most of y'all wouldn't even know what a homemade fried apple pie is. But in Kentucky, we fried everything. We fried pie, if you can imagine. And said, so just bake for him frequently homemade cakes, pies, etc. And really, my grandmother's face really changed. She became sad. She walked out into the waiting room, and my granddad noticed there was tears welling up in her eyes. And he said, well, what's the prognosis? You look so sad, and you're almost ready to cry. And my grandmother looked him right in the eye and said, it's really bad news, honey. The doctor says you're going to die. My grandma wasn't about to cook him all that stuff. Now some of you are getting it. And it's one of those true stories anyway. And some of you are still trying to figure it out. I shouldn't have hyped it up so much with Grandma. They did cook like that in those days. We're going to talk about gentleness today. It means to be considerate, meek. It's like a peach. How many like peaches? I took a while to pick this out at the grocery store. You know, y'all are funny. Your hands shot up because you think I'm going to give the peach away. A peach is a peach. We used to make homemade peach ice cream. Anyway, I picked one out that is very, very ripe. And so you know when a peach is just right, it's what on the outside. It's very soft, isn't it? In fact, it's so soft, I even nicked it or dented it, putting it in the bag. Gentleness and meekness is like a peach. It's very tender, very soft, very pliable. But what's in the middle of this thing? It's hard. It's tough on the inside. It's strong. It's tough on the inside. That's what Christ is. We abide in and wants us to be. He wants us to be kind and gentle, soft, pliable, tender, but he wants to be tough and strong as we abide in him too. Right? Right. So, meekness is not weakness. Meekness is not weakness. Think of a surgeon and to cut out a cancer or to do what surgeons do. They're very, very skilled and the scalpel's very, very sharp, but they have to be very, very steady and very, very gentle not to do more harm than good when they start cutting, don't they? In fact, with the shrapnel in my leg, I just went to my doctor last week and he told me even surgery might cause more damage than leaving the shrapnel in my leg, cutting muscle and cutting tendon. But thank God for surgeons that cuts the disease out without doing harm to the energy, to the body or to the injury or the sickness or whatever it is. Paul, writing to the Galatian church in chapter 5, verse 13, said this. Now, there was a lot going on in this letter. The believers had some disagreements about somewhat biblical doctrine. At the time, they were also fighting and infighting with each other. Galatians is dealing with a lot of relational stuff. They had hostile attitudes toward each other and a lot of conflict. So inspired by the Holy Spirit, Paul sends a letter to the Galatian church, and he says this in part of the letter. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Read that with me. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. And Paul was warning them that they were in danger of destroying relationships among themselves. And then as we've read in Galatians 5 and 22, he goes on to talk about the fruit of the Spirit, of which gentleness or meekness is one of those. We are called to grow in this area. Men, we need to get this gentleness thing down. Somebody say amen. Ladies, same for you. As we abide in Christ, we can be gentle, not sharp, not blunt, not... anybody get what I'm saying? Somebody said, well, I'm just sharp, I'm just blunt. Well, that's not the way Jesus was. And we're talking not about a personality trait here or even how God created you. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 29, he said this, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. To yoke in with him, to understand his gentleness. Now, when he wrote that, if you go and read in your Bible a little before that, he was rebuking a number of cities. They had seen the miracles and yet they still didn't believe. So Jesus, he did rebuke. At times he was firm. And when he wrote this, he had just rebuked a number of cities because they didn't listen or believe in who he is. So there were times that Jesus spoke strongly. We can speak strongly and be gentle. We can speak strongly at times and have meekness in our heart. Jesus always conducted himself this way. Would you agree that Jesus was tremendously strong? Would you? I would. Would you also agree he was tremendously gentle and meek? Of course we would. Like a skilled surgeon, he had a way to get right to the heart. And cut right to the heart with the objective of healing. You ever heard anybody tell you, think before you speak? It's a great idea. If you don't learn anything else this morning, I feel like it's more of a teaching this morning, not so much a preaching. Just think before you speak. we'll cover a multitude of sin. I feel like we could operate in meekness if we were a lot slower to speak sometime. Or if in our heart we had the objective to communicate, to heal, and to help. What is your objective in your relationships? Is it to make them better? Is it make them worse? Or is it to win the argument? Hello. Matthew 5 and 5 said, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Now, I wish I had time. I could teach about an hour on that one verse we did the Beatitudes years ago and just did a lesson per Beatitude. But it says that it's the meek and the gentle that will inherit the earth. What it really means is that the meek and the gentle will rule with power and authority over the earth. What does that mean for us today? It's really the meek people that have authority and power. It's really the meek people that are soft and gentle and kind and patient toward others, yet strong on the inside, tough on the inside. And it's the meek that God anoints and places in leadership. It's the meek that God anoints to speak with authority and to live with authority and to pray with authority. Come on now. It's the meek. That's the principle there. God gives the authority to the meek. But that goes 180 degrees against what we're being taught in the world, or maybe how even some of us are acting. We think somehow we're to take control, we're to win, especially if we've been mistreated, although Jesus did teach to turn the other cheek, and although Jesus did teach to walk the extra mile, although Jesus did teach if somebody takes your jacket to give them your other jacket, although Jesus taught His Christ followers to do that, somehow we bought into the world's way that we have to fight, be mean, raise our voice, and argue and get our way when we're right. And sometimes we do. And that's the way the world operates. But there's no power in it. If you offend that person that you don't like at Walmart who doesn't know Jesus, they could burn in hell because you offended them. You got your way. There's no power in that. There's no power in that. Well, I won. I got my way. There's no power in that. An old timer taught me many years ago, walk with the Lord and leave the promoting to the Lord. God will put you where He wants you. He'll place you in leadership where you want you. He'll give you favor when you need it. He'll give you grace when you need it. He will give them. The meek will inherit the earth. The meek are going to be ruling and reigning for an eternity, and the meek still have the power and authority today. The anointing of the Holy Spirit. The world says, be strong. Be aggressive. But Jesus said, blessed are those that are meek. The word, do you want to be blessed? You know what blessed really means? Fulfilled and fully favored. Don't we just want the favor of God, which will give us the favor of man? I don't have to beat a door down. God will open it. We do need to knock every now and then. God teaches us to knock and to look. But isn't it good as a spirit of meekness just trusts the Lord. A spirit of meekness doesn't have to win every argument. A spirit of meekness can even be mistreated. But those who operating in the fruit of meekness will be blessed and highly favored. Because God gives, James said it, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I wish I really had time to teach this morning the way it needs to be taught. When you're in conflict, and I've watched this happen over and over and over again, not that I don't make mistakes, but I've learned to think more often before I speak. And to listen before I respond. Not that I don't make mistakes. Have you ever been under attack, verbally or relationally? Most of you have. We're old enough to have experienced that. I tell you, if you can have enough grace from Jesus in you and lean into the Spirit hard enough and respond rather than react with meekness and meek words, you can watch people's countenance change right in front of you. And all of a sudden, things are flowing. I've watched it happen over and over. You go to customer service. Well, those folks, why am I talking about this? I don't know. Customer service people tend to be on their heels. You ever notice that? You know, and some of y'all work in customer service, it's because they get hammered every day of their life. People come in, they're aggressive, they're upset. This poor person is just trying to make a living and take care of the problem. They didn't cause the problem, but we, well, surely we don't hammer them every day. Many, many times I can see those men or women on their heels when I've got to go in and take care of a problem. And you know what I'll do? I'll say, ma'am, it's okay. We'll figure this out. And like I said, I'll go, ma'am, I'm not upset. We have a problem here, but ma'am, I'm not upset. And you can handle people with gentleness. And I'm telling you, 99 times out of 100, the peace of the Holy Spirit comes and falls on that person. They calm down and you're able to resolve the issue. That's power, church. Not going in mad and making them madder, and then you become madder, and you get your way, and you walk away, and you blow your testimony. I don't know why I'm talking about this today. Meek's not weak. God gives power to those that have that fruit, and I took way too long on one point. Which does bring me to the next point, though. You should be gentle with those who sin. Galatians 6, 1 and 3. And remember why one of the reasons the book was written, there were people inside the church that weren't living right. Oh my goodness. Hey, you know, it's more fun to preach or teach like this when we're not having a bunch of those problems. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. When something's going on among ourselves, in our family context, in our business circles, in our church, among friends, and people have done something wrong, you are to go to them, but go to them gently. You may need to confront one another at times, but you know the old principle? Affirm the person, confront the issue, affirm the person. Validate the person, confront the issue, validate the person. That's called love, confronting love. Because you do love the person. And they did make a mistake. But I tell you, you're going to deceive yourselves if you don't think you're not going to make one down line. That'll keep you meek. I preach against sin. I preach against misbehavior and bad habits because we need to know when we're not living right. And then we know when we're not living right, there's an answer. It's called the grace of Jesus Christ, confession and repentance, and God forgives us. Can I get a big amen? That's what Jesus does. But I'll tell you what, I'm not too hard on sinners because Jesus wasn't. Oh, he is hard on the Pharisees. They pretended to be somebody they weren't. But I'm really hard on sin because sin destroys people. Sin is destructive. Whether you believe it or not, sin is destructive. And ultimately, it'll keep you out of heaven. Come on now. But when there's sin in the camp, we need to handle it with gentleness. That's what Paul was telling. Yeah, there's some imperfections. Y'all have even got some doctrinal disagreements. Peter and Paul were having some arguments. They had to go to Jerusalem to straighten it out, even later, to a group of leaders that were over them. But they said, you know, there's problems inside the church. And he was teaching them how to have right relationship with God and each other. And he said, handle each other with gentleness versus pride. Not harsh, cruel, or vindictive, or talky. Jesus' objective is always to restore, redeem, save, heal, and deliver. Jesus' objective is always redemptive. Even when something goes south, he wants to redeem. Somebody say amen. And we got a lot of future pastors. We've got a lot on our staff. We've got 7 or 8 people in Bible college, some just getting out, and they're learning how to preach, and we're rotating them on Wednesday night to preach it every Wednesday night for 15 minutes. But let me say to those of you that are here, and many of your teachers and lay teachers, what is your motive in teaching? My motive this morning was to come and preach you the truth as kindly and as passionately as I can, because I want what's best for you. And that should be our motive when we speak until we relate with others. You know why we put people down so many times? Because it lifts me up. I know it all. I'm holier than you are. There go I, except by the grace of Jesus Christ. We're no better than the next person. We may be behaving what we're believing a little more than the next person, but we're not one inch better than the next person. Why do we act like we are? Meekness doesn't do that. Meek's not weak. I sense the power of God falling on this service. Meek's not weak, and we need to operate in meekness around others, but not just inside the house, but number three, outside the house. Titus, all people, and I've already touched on that, Titus 3, I think it's Titus 3, 1 and 2. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one. What does those two words mean in Greek, I wonder? How many people should we slander? You think that means zero, maybe? The Greek would mean zero, I think. No one. Be peaceable and considerate and be gentle as much as you possibly can in most situations. What does the Word of God say? Dear Lord, if that doesn't challenge your socks off, something's wrong with you. This fruit of the Spirit thing, I tell you, to be like Christ is a challenge. We can't be like Jesus on our own. We need the tangible operating grace of God working in our lives and our hearts and our minds every moment. I can't be gentle for a day without the grace of God. I need to be leaning into Jesus, leaning on the Spirit, realizing in and of myself I can do nothing. But as I lean into Christ and the Spirit empowers me, I can do all things through Jesus Christ that gives me strength. And that means I can be meek. And when I'm operating in the meekness of Jesus Christ, I'm walking in the power of Jesus Christ, because he gives the meek the authority. You walk in a room and you may be quiet and meek, but you're loving, you're personable, you make as many touches as you can, and those people, you leave and they go, that person was different. Of course they're different. They've got Jesus Christ living in their heart in a fullness, and you can even walk in a room and people will know something. They just might not know what it is. Well, I went to preach in a little bit. We need to be meek to all. The mechanic that tore your car up. Blessings. You know what we have to learn, and I don't have time to talk about this, submission. The scripture here said be subject to ruler and authorities, but I have to be submitted to the people that are around me, or else I might slug them. Come on. Isn't it true? So if I feel like slugging somebody because they're mistreating or mistalking about me, Jesus never said slug them. I've got to submit my heart to Christ and that person that is mistreating me in a degree, I'm submitting myself to that so that I don't misbehave. Is anybody getting this? Self-control's next week. It's the toughest of all of them. You know, I'm good at leading you guys. I have a real difficult time leading me sometimes. We're going to talk about self-control next week. We learn, have to learn, even in Ephesians, and it was dealing with relationships, parental relationships, and marriage relationships. And before it describes the roles of the husband and the wife, it says submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. We submit to each other out of reverence to our Savior. We have to learn submission, and I don't really have time to unpack that. The scripture we read says, always be gentle to all people. I want to give you a homework assignment. It's got to be him. Is treat everybody that comes in your path for 1 week with gentleness. Is that too long? I'm meddling a little bit. Early in our nation, there was during the Revolutionary War, it was at Valley Forge. A number of guys are trying to move this big log, and this young corporal is just cranking out the orders. Get that log moved! Get that log moved! They couldn't move it again and again and again and again. And the young corporal is just sitting there shouting out orders. And so a man rides up on a horse and says, "Sir, why don't you give them a hand?" He looked up to the man riding on the horse. He said, "Sir, because I'm a corporal." I think there's some of you here this morning have a corporal anointing. The gentleman gets off his horse. He gets down on his knees, bends his back, helps the guys pick up the log. You know who it was, don't you? General George Washington. He had all the power and authority. Meek is not weak. General Washington didn't consider himself too big to help. We're never too big to serve, are we? Gentleness is like this peach. It's soft, tender on the outside, but it's really strong and tough on the inside. We should share the gospel the same way, right? 1 Peter 3 and 15 says this, and we're last point. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Be ready to share the love of Jesus. Be ready to share the gospel. And the goal is never to crush people, never to show them how ignorant they are, never to show them how little they know or to show them how much you know. The goal is always to be ready and gently share the good news of Jesus Christ. And I think we would all be amazed. Look, some people are going to persecute you anyway. Some people are going to speak maliciously against you anyway. There's nothing we can usually do about that. But we don't have to bring it on ourselves. we should walk in gentleness and love and kindness and goodness and self-control. We don't have to compromise the truth to operate in gentleness. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's not a retreat from reality. Stay with me now. Because I could tell some of you are thinking, well, that's just not reality, Pastor. Not in the world we live in. It should be reality in your world if you're walking in Christ. And if Christ is in you. Well, I've got a long way to go. That could be. Because fruit, it takes time to grow. And it'll grow and it'll mature. And then there'll be more of it. There'll be enough gentleness and meekness for everybody that comes into your path. It's not to be a coward. Not asking. Because I'm going to tell you something here. It takes more courage to walk this way in the world we live in than to fight your own fights. Anybody get mad and act like the world, yell and loud and cuss and spit. That takes no spiritual power to do that. But I tell you what, to walk in meekness, to respond rather than react in the flesh and respond in meekness takes courage. But, that's... To be quiet when you want to say something. To talk all over somebody when you need to be listening. That takes courage. And it's hard. And we can do it as we abide in Christ. It takes courage to walk like Jesus in the culture that we live in. Timothy, 2 Timothy, Paul writing to Timothy, said this in 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 3. But mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lover of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good. Does that describe our culture today as well? My word, it shouldn't describe us though, should it? We walk gently and meekly with power and authority and anointing and commission from Almighty God. You can take the scripture down. Humility and meekness. I'm not sure there's any more powerful way to walk. Now, our culture no longer rides war horses. In fact, through World War I, we used a lot of horses in World War I, by the way. A ton of horses. And for centuries, whoever had the horses or the cavalry, it was come to be called, had a substantial advantage against armies that were on foot. In fact, the war horse, which goes back centuries, millennial, if you had war horses, you were going to win most every battle. You could kill more men, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So this the war horse was the tank of World War II or the plane of World War II. We did have some planes in one, but they were pretty primitive. God has called us to be war horses. What do you mean, Pastor? A word used to describe a powerful war horse is the word meek. For a horse to be said, that is a very meek horse. People that knew horse language would know that is a powerful animal and a powerful machine. We at Man Camp also had a guy that trains horses. They go out. How many of you know we got tens of thousands of stallions running wild out here out west? Even in Arizona, out where I live. He brought one of the trained stallions to Man Camp and spoke. People go, oh, they were out running free. They were running in herds. Nobody to tell them what to do. So independent. You know why horses that are out in the wild run 95% of the time? They're scared of something. But you take that stallion and you tame it and you give it guidelines and you break that stallion, not the stallion's spirit, but the stallion's will. Where that stallion submits his will to the one riding him, that horse becomes powerful and useful. That's called a meek horse. One that's been tamed. Doesn't run wild on its own anymore. It's soft and tender. It turns right when you say turn right. It turns left. It charges when you say charge. But it's tough and strong on the inside and useful because it's submitted to the master that's on its back. A lot of you this morning run independent, a little wild, on your own agenda, fighting for your own way, because 90% of the time you're scared. You're afraid you won't solve this issue. You're afraid when somebody talks about you. You're afraid when all we have to do, church, is take our heart, submit it to our Master Jesus Christ with His Spirit and His grace, let Him make adjustments in our life, and we're talking about meekness. Submit to God. And God works in us and through us, and we can walk in the fruit of meekness. And it will be powerful and useful to the body of Christ in this crazy world we live in. That's where the power is it walking in meekness. Amen? Let's pray.